Welcome to the Usman Martial Arts Teleconference Series with your host, Mr. Rob Colasanti.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us today for day two of the Ultimate Martial Arts Teleconference Series with the legendary Jay Abraham. Jay has got a tremendous amount of great quality content for you today. So without further ado, let me give you to our host, our teacher for today, Mr. Jay Abraham.
Hey, Rob. Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Perfect.
Okay. Hi, everybody, and welcome back. Yesterday was a fun first step in our three-day adventure journey to greater achievement, prosperity, and marketing mastery for everybody in the martial arts field. Today I want to do a bunch of things. Rob and I have talked. I got a very tight agenda. I want to make a couple of prefacing announcements. Number one, it's a 90-minute call, but I'm delighted to go over if you guys can stay for as much as 20, 30 minutes. Number two, time allowing. And I'll try to like make time allowing. I got a very ambitious topical schedule I want to cover. We will affirmatively try more Q&A. I'd hope to even do more yesterday. Number three, we're going to get a lot of interaction tomorrow. And number four, I want to start by reviewing quickly yesterday, just so we're all on the same page going forward. I explained to you yesterday that no matter what business you're in, yours particularly, there are three ways to grow any business. I explained to you the fallacy of being episodic or tactical and how important having a master overriding strategy was. What I didn't explain to you yesterday, and I want to amend, is that the difference between leverage in business is the key to great achievement. I explained the leverage in marketing. I said one approach can get you X result, another can get you 10X. When you've got as much as 20 times greater upside by changing a headline, by approaching a market with a different hot button, you owe it to yourself, you owe it to your school, you owe it to your community slash marketplace to constantly be experimenting to find the optimal, the ultimate, the highest and best performing marketing approaches that you can combine together into a systematic strategy. We talked about strategy, but I want to amend that too. There are four great levers in business. If you look at every one of the top performing businesses in any industry, and I've looked at 450, they are the ones who engineer the maximum number, quality, and consistency of breakthroughs in four areas. One, first and foremost, is marketing, because marketing is the ultimate business leverage. You can make those 31 points of impact in your business, and I identified some of them yesterday, the market you penetrate, the approach you use or the approaches, the way you bring them in, the way you convert them, what the first sale is, how you set them up for the future, all the ancillary, all the referrals, et cetera, et cetera. Marketing has the greatest leverage. The next leverage is strategy. One strategy over another can make the difference between night and day. And Rob, I'm sure that's true. What I try to keep referring yesterday to and I want to do today is that this is a piece of cake for you all to grasp because it is the mirror image of what you teach. In martial arts, I'm sure they teach that one strategy can out-achieve another by big margins, don't they, Rob?
Well, without a doubt, if you're fighting a runner or a blocker or a jammer or a kicker or a puncher or someone who's strong or tall or short, you fight everybody differently. And marketing is the same way, isn't it?
Yeah, in business, and like when I was interviewing some of these pretty savvy school owners, it sounded like a lot of the people there, their strategy is they got to make money on the first sale so they can pay the rent and they're compromising the future. Or they got to convert everybody to something sustaining, but they don't try to really systematically and strategically and continuously upgrade them and add additional and higher units of training and thus sustaining greater and compounding revenue streams as they grow into geometric growth. But you change your strategy, you change your result. You change your marketing, you change your result. you change your level of innovation. And innovation is a very misunderstood concept. All it means is the ability to bring greater benefit, advantage, or result to your marketplace that they recognize, appreciate, and desire exclusively from you. And the final area of leverage and breakthroughs is in management, the way you manage your time, your people, your assets, your capital, your intellectual capital, your relationships, your revenue streams. Rob, before I go on, is that clear?
I think it's very clear, Jay, and I just want to reemphasize that most schools out there, they really don't put any strategy into their marketing. They're very episodic, and we're going to try to change that today.
Yes, okay. So the first thing I talked about yesterday is you got to have a master overriding strategy, and everything you do has to advance, enhance, and move forward towards that big goal, not unlike what you teach. The next thing I taught you was that the three ways to grow a business, most people work only on bringing new people in and selling them something. That's the most expensive, the slowest, the least yielding. Once you bring them in, the cost of upgrading them, of sustaining them, of generating new revenue streams, advanced programs, ancillary revenue, referrals, access to their organizations, associations, affinity groups, and impact areas is easy, costs nothing, just requires a different kind of a strategic form of thinking. The next thing I talked about was that you need to build your marketing on multiple pillars at the same time. I didn't get very deeply into this, but there's two approaches, and I gave everybody on this call a very graphically clear 20 or 30 page component in your grounding materials called the Power Parthenon of Geometric Business Growth. It shows on the first page, I think, like a diving board, which is what most businesses are based upon, with the board being the revenue and the pillar supporting it being the singular primary way you generate leads, sales, business, a livelihood. It then showed how much different, more stable, and more powerful it was each time you added one more pillar or support beam or revenue stream to bring in leads and sales. It showed at the end how powerful it would be if you had 8 or 9 concurrent revenue streams going for you all the time. And what it didn't show, because it needs explanation, is by doing that, you're doing 3 very powerful things. Number one, you're bringing the power of geometry to bear, because if all of your revenue right now comes from one primary activity and you are able to systematically and cost advantageously make it all pay as it goes at 1, then 2, then 3, then 4, then 5, then 6, then 7, then 8 additional revenue generating streams that you don't have now, and they all were systematically and strategically being operated on a continuous weekly, monthly, year-long basis, they would not only penetrate the same market from many different points, pushing people further and further forward to commitment, because most people don't commit the first time. They need a lot of progressive push to really come to the realization they need something. But it would, each time you added a new revenue stream, each additional stream could add 20% here, 30% here, 50% more revenue. I didn't do the exercise that you can see on that graphic that I sent you, but I did tell you that if you increase each of the three areas just 10%, the cumulative impact isn't 10%, it's 33 1/3%. If you double the number of students, if you increase the size of the revenue that they represented to you by 50%, if you got them to stay 50% longer, that wouldn't be 50% more revenue, it would probably be 500%, and that 500% might 10 times your current income if you got a fixed overhead. I don't want to get real very, very deep. I just want to review what we talked about. We talked then about the first line of offense, where you concentrate first. You concentrate first where you already are. You don't go out in the outside market looking for new, more expensive things to do until and unless you first maximized what you've already got. And the way to do that is first and foremost, get the people in your active, continuous paying mode, the people that are coming in regularly for training, to either upgrade to more services if they are in their best interest, to refer more people, because that should be a constant, you know, multiple faceted approach. And I told you I'm going to send you on a post at the end tomorrow. I'll tell you all how to get the 93 referrals, which you'll have to go through and figure out which versions are best for you. I told you next to look within the parents and see what organizations they whether it's schools, groups, influences, to get them to draw massive multiple referrals for you, or at least introduce you to great organizations. I told you to figure out what commonalities your students had so you could target strategic alliances. Later today, I'm going to teach you all about that, or at least a short course. I told you then to go to inactive students and reactivate them or get referrals from them. Then I told you the next thing to do, none of which cost you anything, was go to the people that inquired and didn't buy and start them on a follow-up sequence, call, letter, call, and I'll build out some of the components today. And only then is it time to go outside and do other things. Is that a good review of yesterday, Rob?
I think it was a masterful review, and we're ready now for day two.
Okay. So the first thing I want to do is pick up on the teachings of yesterday and introduce you to this concept called allowable cost. Most people say, well, I don't have much money to spend on marketing or sales commissions or advertising. I argue. I think you have an infinite amount. There's no one on this call that couldn't spend $100,000 or more this month, no kidding, once, if, and after you realize that you have an allowable cost that you can spend, and up to that you can buy all the advertising, you can pay all the sales people, you can do whatever you want. And that allowable cost only is determinable after and once you look at what's called the lifetime value of a student. And I don't want to get too sophisticated here, but very simply, you look at every lead that comes in, how many convert on average, worst case, and then you figure out what a lead is worth to you in revenue, not cost. You might run an ad, it might cost you $300, you may get 10 leads. You can say the leads cost me $30 a piece, but that's not the determinant. Of those 30 leads, how many, of those 10 leads, how many will you convert? Let's say you convert 5, what will the minimum revenue be? Let's say that's $1,000 a piece, that's $5,000. You divide your 10 leads into 5,000. Each lead is worth to you $500. Is that clear, Rob?
Very clear, Jay.
So you got to know, and you can look at it the other way. If you don't look at leads, you can say, okay, worst case, what's the average new student worth to me in year one, in year two, how many years? Only if, when, and after you comprehend what somebody's worth to you, worst case, not best. And I always look at the worst case, because then you will always be pleasantly surprised if you're very conservative. If you're very liberal and say, oh, it's probably worth $5,000 to me, it's only worth $1,000, then you'll screw up big time and you'll get caught in a financial black hole. If you know conservatively, worst case, what a lead is worth, worst case, what a sale is worth, then you can, and also then you've got to understand a very simple process called incrementalism. And what that means, at least my interpretation, is right now you got a school. You got a fixed overhead. The school cost you $1,000. Your electricity cost you $500. Your fixed staff cost you $2,000. What is that, $2,500, Rob?
I think that math is right.
Okay. It cost you $2,500 whether you bring in 30 students or 300 students. Now, incrementally, every new student that comes in, you know, may cost you the uniform and your belt and a couple other things. And maybe after you fill the room up, you either have to have another teacher for another class and pay him or her a certain fixed amount. But most of the revenue above and beyond break even is incremental. Is that clear, Rob?
So I want to rewind the tape here for just a second. Say that we gave our members a postcard and they mailed the postcard out within their community and they sent out a whole bunch of them and the bill was $300.
Yes.
Are you saying that they need to know how much each lead is worth when those people call back in? Say they got 10 people to call back in.
Well, and we're going to get into metrics and analysis, measurement, quantification, and how that can make everybody, you know, double, triple, quadruple their current livelihood, which is a very, very, very worthwhile thing to know, I guess. But the answer is you should know how everything performs, because I think I said yesterday, different different offers, different premises, different marketing propositions, different subjects that you are building your offer on, different media, meaning different forms, Valpak, a newspaper, radio, a mailing list, are going to generate not just different lead costs, but different qualities and values of conversion. Does that make sense?
But why do they need to know how much each lead costs them?
Because their goal in business life, not unlike the goal they probably teach a student and the goal of the martial arts category that they are master of, is to get the highest and best use of everything they do. It's to optimize. It's to always get the maximum result possible from the minimum time, effort, risk, and yield. So that one thing that they think may not be worth doing because it doesn't bring a lot of leads and maybe three times more profitable over the 2 or 3 year history of a student than something that theoretically and hypothetically looks 10 times more profitable. You can't just look at how many leads something generates. You got to look at what the conversion of that category is, what the average unit of sale first time is, how many repeat streams of sale come in, how many referrals on average come from that category. And unless you know that stuff, you may be putting all your focus on something which is one-fourth as profitable long-term and takes one-tenth the effort. If you're not getting any back-end, which would be renewals, upgrades, referrals from one lead source, but that's where you're putting all your money. Does that make sense when another approach that ends up costing you ultimately one-half produces three times more back-end revenue and five times more referrals? You got to start looking at this. And you don't have to do it instantly because it could be a process. But once you know that, then you become a masterful marketer because you put your time, your effort, your focus on that which works best first and that which works worst last. But your determination of worst is probably flawed. For example, I think I said yesterday, one of the guys we interviewed, I think he trains or he manages other people's practices, said he was just dumbfounded how a school owner wouldn't let him run an infomercial for them when every time they ran it, it cost $800 to run. It brought in 20 new leads or prospects. Yep. It converted 6 right away, I think, or
10.
6.
10, half. They get half.
10 people who paid $300 right away. So that's $3,000 right off the bat within days. And then of those 10 people, the rest paid, the rest of their $1,700 over time. And the yield was like $20,000 for an 8. It took a while to reap it. And any investor out there, if you said, hey, would you put up $800 to get $20,000 in 12 months? They would borrow money to do that. But a lot of you guys and girls aren't looking at this like a hard-nosed ROI, return on investment, profit-based businessman or woman. You're just saying, well, gosh, I didn't get enough yield up front. I made somebody $25 million one time in another field. They ran ads for a newsletter. They only wanted to run their newsletter ads if it made three times the money. If it only made two or broke even, they'd stop. And I said, whoa, let's look at what happens after the fact. When somebody starts subscribing, and we found out that every time they got 10 new subscribers, 5 of them bought investment services from them, averaging $10,000. And of the 5, 2.5 bought more, averaging $25,000. And of the 2.5, 2 bought more, averaging $50,000. Make a long story short, they could have paid people to start a relationship and still made millions of dollars, but they never looked at the correlations. Rob, I don't want to get too confusing. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah, it really does. It's starting to come in clear, Jay.
Okay, so you need to know what somebody is worth to you, certainly in the first transaction, preferably in the first year. But let's look at the first transaction. And let's say you close the bulk of the sales within a week or two of having an inquiry or a lead. Is that reasonable, Rob?
Yeah. Can I ask you one question, though, first, Jay? I don't want to leave anybody behind here. Are you saying that you may do some kind of promotion for your school, and it may cost you $50 per lead, but out of those leads, you may convert half of them, and they're each worth about $1,000 or $1,500 or $3,000 to you?
I'm saying, Rob, in its purest sense, once you have a system, and you're not going to start this way, and you know with predictability what your second, your third, your fourth tiers of recurring revenue, of repeat or back-end revenue is from a an introductory student.
Sure.
Whatever the first introductory, you know, whether it's a $1,000 first level, a $500, whatever it is, once you know with conservative, projectable predictability what they're worth year one, year two, and into the future, you could easily justify spending 100% of the first transaction all day long as your school had enough additional cash flow, and you'd be accruing or creating a future stream of income that would be gargantuan. Do you understand that?
Without a doubt.
And that's the key that I've grown all these businesses, is getting them to stop, take a deep breath, and totally transform their logic. So let's start with conservatism and safety. So you look at the first transaction only, even though you got others, or you will add others if you follow my recommendation. Let's say the average first sale, transaction with you is would it be $800, $1,500? What's it going to be, Rob?
Let's say $1,200.
Okay. All things being equal, this is not what I'm going to recommend, but on $1,200, if you back out what I call the incremental direct cost, let's say you got to pay on average, over the year, $10 a lesson to the teacher. So let's say that's $80. Let's say you got to pay 5% or 10% sales commission. That's $120. Well, all things being equal, you could, if you wanted to, say out of the $1,200, I have $900 of gross profit. You could literally probably spend $900 on marketing and still make out like a bandit on year two and the next level of renewal. I'm not suggesting you do that, but I am suggesting that instead of saying we have a marketing budget of $2,000 a month or a marketing budget of 5%, you start thinking, what's my allowable cost? Once you realize the maximum amount variably, meaning totally correlated to results. You're not paying for advertising, you're paying for results. You're not paying for sales effort, you're paying for results. If tomorrow morning I said to you, hey, Rob, I can deliver 1,000 new students to you, but I want $900,000 of the $1 million they're going to bring in, your first inclination would say, screw you, Jay. But if I said, but Rob, that's for a six-month program. It costs you nothing. You're going to make $100,000, which will pay all your overhead and probably a little bit of profit. But at the end of 6 months or long before, if you master my strategic systematic marketing, you're going to probably renew or upgrade 40 to 70% of those 1,000 people to a 2,000 black belt program, and maybe 20% to a $4,000 or $5,000 advanced program, and that's going to be $1 million, and it costs you nothing because, does that make sense, Rob?
I would write checks like that all day long.
Okay, well, that's the mindset I need your people to think about with safety, and here's why. Instead of saying, well, I'm only going to run ads occasionally, or I'm only going to run ads, seasonally, that's the dumbest thing in the world. You run ads, you do marketing, you encourage your salespeople to set up relationships and do innovative things as long and up to the fact that they bring in a new student up to and at your allowable cost. And I'll give you an example. I did a program years ago. We sold an analgesic bomb. We took it from nothing to a fortune overnight. It was called Icy Hot. It was a $3 product. It cost us 45 cents to make. It sold for $3. We didn't want to buy advertising. We went to radio stations, television stations, magazines, people who sold complimentary things, got them to promote it on the air, in their ads, on TV, stick promotions in the packages they sent out. We didn't buy anything. We let them have $3 of the $3 sale. We lost 45 cents on the acquisition. Everyone thought we were crazy. We weren't crazy. We had studied the marginal net worth, the lifetime value. We saw that for everybody that came in, the average person bought 12 times a year at $3, and it was an analgesic for arthritis, and they kept buying until they died or until somebody came up for your cure for arthritis. So every time we lost 45 cents and gave away $3, we were assured of getting 12 times 3, $36 a year for on average 8 years or $240, of which 90% was profit. Does that make sense, Rob?
Well, it really does, and I think as a parallel example, a martial arts school owner could give away free lessons right up front because they're going to make it on the back end 10 times, 100 times over.
I'm going to challenge that in theory if we get later in the game by testing. So you figure out what you can spend without going broke. And I mean, later on when you get sophisticated, you can even spend more than you bring in on the first transaction. Now, do you think, for example, that the book clubs and the CD clubs and the DVD clubs have figured out how to make a profit getting 4 cents for 4 DVDs?
Oh, yeah.
No, they know that for every 100 people that come in, you know, 90 will go the first tier and go the 12 CDs, and they'll make, you know, $200 on them. And of those 90, you know, 50% will go for another 24 months, and it's all profit. And of those, probably 30% will go to 3 more clubs. And you got to, that's how sophisticated business people make fortunes. That's how strategic martial arts schools can double, redouble, and double again their income. And I don't care if you're money motivated or not. With that income, you can then reach deeper into the community. You can help more people. You can change more lives. You can free yourself up to work full time. And you can just do more worthy things in your world and in your community. Rob, does that make sense?
It does indeed, Jay.
Okay. So you figure out your lifetime value. Then you translate it to all the different ways you can channel it into marketing. It means you can run ads and promotions more places. You can be more generous with your sales commissions. You can pack into the sale more bonuses. Keep in mind, there's a school of thought that says most people get fixated on the purity of their offer instead of the objective of their promotion. The goal is to start a lot of quality deserving people in a relationship. It's to lower the barrier of entry, to reduce the hurdle rate, to accelerate and shorten the buying cycle so you can start the process of generating relationships and revenue. Is that clear, Rob?
Can I ask you a question, Jay?
Sure.
I think it'll help out here a little bit. In a membership organization like a martial arts school, there's an attrition. There's people that basically drop out constantly. How do you figure that into the equation when you're trying to calculate the allowable cost or the lifetime value of a student?
The way to do it in the beginning, and here's what I'd rather do, because this can eat up, I'm already a half hour into it, this could eat up a half an hour.
Okay.
Why don't I, as a gift, do a separate interview with you, and we'll do an MP3 file, and it will take a week or two because I've got a busy schedule,
okay.
And we'll put it out for everybody who's on tomorrow's call so that they can have a template format of how to do their own marginal net worth, lifetime value, allowable cost calculation.
Very gracious of you. Let's consider it done.
Okay, cool. So now you got an allowable cost. You got to realize that I'm going to teach you to think nonlinear. The linear martial arts student or school owner, the linear business owner says, I've only got a percentage I can spend of my revenue, or $3,000 a month, an arbitrary allocation. I can only pay my salesperson, you know, 3% or $10 a sale. That's either too much or too little. It's never going to be the right amount. The right amount is the maximum allowable cost. You can't know what that is until you've done the studies. But I'll tell you, we increased a business's sales and profits 6 times instantly. We looked at their sales commission. They were paying their salespeople about 10% of profits. We looked at the lifetime value of their buyers. Every time we looked at the first sale they brought in, which was a couple $100 of profit, we looked at how many sales on average they got from that buyer in the first year. It was 5 times. We looked at what those sales were worth. It was $200 a time or $1,000 a year. We looked at how many years they would normally buy. It was 3 years, and we realized that every time they brought somebody in for $200 worth of profit, they were getting $3,000 worth of future profit, but they were only paying the salespeople 10%. We changed the sales commission and gave the salespeople 100% of the first transaction, the first revenue, and thus we motivated the salespeople 10 times more to be motivated. The salespeople being more motivated sold like mad, opened up new accounts, and we grew the business 600% just by realizing that every time the salespeople got 100% of the first sale, the owner got 90% of $2,800 more he or she never would have had. And I don't want to get too esoteric, but that's the mindset here. Once you get allowable cost, you got to realize you can spend it many different ways. You can spend it on advertising. You can spend it on more sales commission. You can spend it on paying profit shares or revenue sharing with joint ventures endorsers. You can spend it on unique joint ventures with media who run ads not for spending but for a share of the revenue or so much a lead. You can spend it on putting more things. When I start talking about benefits and bonuses, Sports Illustrated found years ago that by giving you a radio or a cushion or a video or a swimsuit issue, they would triple or quadruple the number of people who got the regular magazine. And the key to all this is not a pure play. It's getting a lot of people started. Does that make sense, Rob?
It really does. As a program director myself, every time I sold a membership, I'd get $20. So if I enrolled 30 people a month, I got a whole $600, but the school had contract value of probably, you know, $30,000. It wasn't very motivating, Jay. I really see what you're talking about. If I had got a little bit more money up front, I probably would have sold a whole lot more memberships.
Well, and another question, hopefully I'll get in today, but if not tomorrow, is about upgrading the quality and the professionalism of your support team.
Yep.
You got people on there that got a shot at making really good money and building themselves a real future. You're going to have the dynamics are going to change, and when you understand that what it costs you initially is irrelevant to what you're going to keep over forever, and you got to pay payroll, but tomorrow will come. I'm teaching you how to not live hand to mouth, how to not have to worry week to week and month to month tactically about just making payroll, but how to create and produce monstrously lucrative revenue for life. And starting now, you start looking at it. So let me continue. So now you understand allowable cost, and I'm not going to get too deep into it now, but we'll get into it maybe with some exercises tomorrow. You understand lifetime value. Now let's talk about ROI and parlay. A lot of the school owners, if I gave them all these things I'm going to talk about today and tomorrow, they're going to say, well, we don't have any money to do that. Well, we don't have any staff to do that. Well, I'm too strained right now. I can't do that. It's like a catch-22, right, Rob?
Yes, sir.
I would take you to task and say you must learn the science and art of ROI parlaying. And that means you start, if there's anything you want to do and it costs money or it requires staff or it requires resources and you don't have it, you have three ways to do it. You go out and borrow the money, you eat into your savings, you mortgage your house and take a second, or the safest, the most pragmatic, the Jay Abraham school of doing it says you go to those activities, those overlooked assets, hidden opportunities, underperforming activities, undermined resources, and you turn them into the cash to fund the activity. For example, if you start doing the referral generating process regularly, systematically, not just occasionally, and you do five or six of them together to your active students, you are absolutely going to start doubling, tripling, maybe even quintupling the number of referral-generated students that come in. Those students cost you nothing or very little, maybe a thank you card or a free couple of lessons or a dinner or something like that. But with that money, instead of putting it in your pocket, buying a new car, you put it figuratively or literally into a segregated account and you use it to fund the first two or three or four or 6 months of the advertising, the new advertising or marketing or sales salespeople you need. And you constantly parlay. And by doing that, everything becomes a self-financing profit center. Nothing costs you negative. Does that make sense, Rob?
Don't take that money and go out and buy a new plasma television. Reinvest it back into the business.
Well, I mean, you got to be, if you don't want to be a business owner, you probably should take a vow of poverty and keep doing what you're doing. If you want to be a business owner, you have a moral obligation. If you're not in it for the money and you're in it for the good work, you got to do the best you can to the most people you can in the time you've got. You're not going to do that unless you're a great marketer, and you're not going to be a great marketer unless you become a great manager of your marketing opportunities, and unless you're born with a silver spoon and you're independently wealthy, the best way to do it without ever hurting your finances, jeopardizing the sanctity of your family, compromising your home or anything other asset is to parlay. But you got to be very focused and committed to do it on a continuous basis. And you know, a plasma TV will give you a couple years of joy before it burns out. That same $5,000 can fund three new salespeople for 3 months or 2 months on a draw, and those people each can not only close more people, but they can go out and set up joint ventures, penetrate new markets, work on weekends and high traffic areas, and they could be worth $25,000 a month apiece to you. And if that's too high, cut it in half again. It's still a hell of a lot more yield than a plasma TV, isn't it, Rob?
I couldn't agree more, Jay.
Okay, so now you get the concept of parlay. Now let's go to the three-way to grow business model we talked about yesterday, and I'm going to give you some lists. I don't like doing lists, but sometimes lists are good, and I want to give you some lists. And keep in mind, my strategy, my model, what I would do if I were working privately with you is never allow you to build your business on one revenue stream, one marketing activity. I would get you all to do multiple ones concurrently, but each time we would introduce a new one, we would start with those that cost nothing or very little and yield a lot on an ongoing basis, or a one-time windfall that's big enough to fund those activities that might cost more but would yield a killer ongoing profit to you. Does that all make sense, Rob? I want to make sure I don't get too
abstract. Can I add something to that, Jay?
Pardon?
May I add something to that?
Of course.
In the martial arts environment, having multiple streams of revenue could translate to things like a specialized program like a preschool program. It could be a Tai Chi program or a Judo program or after-school martial arts, which is extremely profitable. It could be renewal programs in multiple stages like master's clubs and leadership programs and black belt clubs.
And that's brilliant. Let me build on that. So what Rob is saying, which he's taking what I'm saying to you to a much higher level of opportunity, possibility, and excitement, I'm saying you approach your business from multiple income streams, and he's saying you add multiple products and multiple services that appeal to multiple segments of the market. And like yesterday we talked about having a program for kids before baseball season, having a proficiency for soccer, having all kinds of different programs. And you're limited only to your creativity. You do not singularly have to teach them. You can bring other people in. You don't have to pay them. They can be revenue shared. They can go out and sell it. You're limited only to your capacity to conceive, believe, and execute. And it's probably no different than what you teach a frail, timid, first-day white belt student, isn't it, Rob?
It's right on the mark.
Okay, so let me continue. Write these down. I'm going to give you a bunch of cool ways to grow more leads and more students. The foremost, is develop referral-generating systems. They are the easiest, they are the most profitable, they are the most enjoyable when you transcend the inhibitions. And yet tomorrow I'm going to talk about getting the confidence to be an enthusiastic communicator. We talked about that yesterday, and I was talking about how to win friends and influence people, and I'll give you a short course summary on that tomorrow. The next is acquiring clients at a break-even up front and making the profit on the back end. It's exactly what I said. When you know your allowable cost, then you're never going to spend too little or too much. You'll keep spending all you can, as often as you can, as long as it never exceeds that allowable cost. And it could triple, could 10 times over the number of avenues of marketing opportunity you can pursue. Again, Rob, your job is to say, Jay, it's too abstract, or that makes sense.
Okay, got it.
Okay. The next is guaranteeing purchases through risk reversal. Anytime, this is a powerful concept, anytime any two people come together to transact anything, business, entertainment, romance, friendship, employment, one side is always asking the other, either verbally or non-verbally, implicitly or explicitly, knowingly or unknowingly, one side is asking the other to take on most, all, or even more than all of the risk. How could it be more than all? Well, like a software. You buy a piece of software for your company. Maybe it's billing software. You go to a billing service, and they screw up. Not only do you make a bad decision, you get screwed up in your business, your cash flow. You got to reinstitute it. You got bad will. The point is, to the extent you can identify the tangible and intangible risks that people are struggling consciously or unconsciously with making, and you can eliminate and overcome those. It's where it's easier to say yes than no or do nothing, you win, and inertia, procrastination, equivocation, contemplation, or competition loses. Is that clear, Rob?
That was a bit esoteric, Jay. Are you saying that they have to be excellent communicators and find the hot buttons to move people to action and say, yes, I will take martial arts at your school?
Yeah, but it's twofold. It's twofold. And if I, I'll make it real simple.
Okay.
There are two kinds of issues you got to deal with. Fear-based intangible issues and value-based outcome issues. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, let's take the fear-based. I'm not going to enjoy it. I'm not going to want to come regularly. My son or daughter's going to, you know, be too timid. It's going to be too harsh. I mean, whatever they are. The outcome is they're not going to really learn to master. It's not going to be a good return on investment. It's, they're not going to really become proficient, whatever they are. If you can list both sides of that, and then you can incorporate a way to overcome all of that very clearly and very specifically when you're either marketing or selling them, mm-hmm. you will get many times more people to closure. You will get many times more people to go the distance because they will trust you, and you will demonstrate to them in a very powerful way, so it's a bonded connection which will translate to greater flow of referrals, that you really understand what they feel. You really get what their concerns are, and you want to make sure that they know that unless you overcome them, they're not going to really, they're not going to be committed. Everything I do is risk reversal. This call is risk reversal. It's a three-call deal. If I don't deliver value, I'm the loser, not you. That was designed to make it easy for you to trust me long enough for me to help you. That same phrase is appropriate for you. You want to make it easy for them to trust you long enough for you to be able to transform their lives or the lives of their child or children, right, Rob?
Thank you for the clarification on that. That's good.
There's two ways to do it. The first is with future basing, showing them in the interview portion or in your ad or both, hey, you know, if you're worried about not having the time, if you're worried about it not being right, if you're worried about us not understanding how to really make your child feel like $1 million, if you're worried about it, don't worry. That's what we specialize in. Number two is if your child can honestly say by the third or the fourth, session that he's really enjoying, if you can't see the glint in his eyes, you can't see his posture, her posture change, if you can't see him really hurrying after school to put on their little outfits, and if you can't see an attitudinal change in the way they treat you, we don't even want to keep your money. I mean, now, that sounds scary to a lot of you who are living hand-to-mouth, but I can tell you that all the research I've done is when you start using very powerful dual risk reversal, very specific guarantees, you will get many times more people to say yes. You will get them connected to you much deeper. You will get a few of them to take you up on it, but it doesn't matter because you get three times the people to buy and three times the people to inquire, and you get three times the people to go a second and third and fourth session, and you get three times the people to refer, and you got to give back a few of their money. It's moot. It doesn't matter. Does that make sense, Rob?
Yeah, I'm on the edge of my chair here. Keep going.
Well, I'll give you a good example. When we do seminars, big expensive seminars, $5,000, $25,000, we don't even consider the purchase binding until 2 o'clock on the second day. Sometimes we'll put a whole check for $5,000 or $25,000 on a table, and they can take it back anytime they want, up to and including the last minute of the last day. And we know a couple of people do it, but we don't care because we get 10 times more people to come on board.
And I want to add to that. I've seen this work with my own eyes. When we were in L.A. that time, Jay, you were in the room next to us. I think it was a $25,000 a ticket seminar, and the room was full.
We had 100 people. And then but I'll tell you what's better than that. We then sold 1,000 people a $5,000 tape set of it with the same guarantee. We gave them 3 months not only to try it, but then we denominated a very specific outcome. Where most of you fail in risk reversal is, and I'll give you the easiest example that I use. Let's say I was selling supplements, Rob, and some kind of nutritionals, and you say 30-day money back guarantee. Well, that's some risk reversal, isn't it?
Some.
But if I said to you, Rob, here's my proposition to you in a nutshell. You know, if you'll take these supplements, minimum the way they're recommended, twice in the morning, once at lunch, right before you eat, and twice before you go to bed, and you don't have the following things happen within 6 months. Number one, you'll see a dramatic change in your energy level for the better. I'm not saying you'll feel like you did when you were 20, but you're going to have maybe twice, maybe three times the energy. You're going to need to sleep less, but the sleep you have is going to be so rich and so satisfying that you're going to wake up so refreshed you won't believe it. You're going to be eager to go at it. Your focus, your concentration is going to be 40, 50, double what it is now. Your intellectual capacity, well, I can't expand your IQ. What I will do is promise that your mind will function engaged like a steel trap. Your stress level, while it may not reduce, I can promise within 6 weeks or less, it will be one-tenth what it is today, maybe less. Your relationships at work, at home, will be amazing. Your sense of contentment and connection in your environment will be incalculable. Your family life will be better. Your sexual life will be better. I don't want to get into the details, but you're going to be very impressed. If you don't have at least 80% of that happen by the time the sixth week ends, provided only that you've done your part, I don't deserve to keep your money. I don't want to. If it does, you'd be foolish not to keep going on each and every day for the rest of your life as long as it continues and increases. Now, Rob, do you see a difference in the outcome?
Yeah, you want to highlight the benefits and reverse the risk.
And demonstrate the future, how good it can be, and how and on many different planes or issues so that it's clear there's a vivid picture of expectation, and then you tie it back always to mutual performance. I can't do it all for you. My seminars, I'll say if you don't read the grounding material, if you don't participate, if you don't interact, if you don't at least open your mind, then I can't be responsible. Does that make sense?
Perfectly good. Yep.
Okay, so first thing's referral system. The next thing is looking at acquiring a client, a break-even up front. And the break-even doesn't, it means many things. It can mean you promote until up to the allowable cost. It can mean you pay multiple higher on the first payment on the salespeople. It can be you pack into it more. It can mean also that you reduce the cost on the first transaction because you want to get a lot more people started because you know they're going to go again and again, multiple different programs. The next one is host-beneficiary relationships. Of the $7 billion I have generated in revenue and income and profits for clients, over a third of it has come from endorsements and strategic alliances. Of the $100 million I have personally generated in training programs, in product sales, in tape sets, it's almost 90% come not from the open market, not from running cold ads to people that don't know me and paying a premium for circulation that isn't interested, but I go to companies who already had a strong, very credible relationship with the people I wanted to reach. I get them to endorse me. I get them to send letters out. I get them to put offers in their newsletters. I get them to interview me. I get their salespeople promoting me, I get them to put me in their catalogs, and when you do that, three wonderful things happen. Number one, you shorten and almost eliminate the credibility or the sales cycle because you've already got total credibility. You're taking advantage of the years or decades of investment, of goodwill, of trust that the other organization, association, publication, business has with their audience. Number two, You close for a bigger amount faster. Number three, you get a much higher response. Number four, lousy, poor advertising still pulls well to a safe audience. It's like going fishing in a fish hatchery pond. When I was a little kid, my parents would take me to a fish hatchery once a year, and they had like 9 million small fish in this little pond, and you throw your, you know, you can only catch 12 because you'd hit every time you threw your – but it was very exciting. It's like that. Does that make sense, Rob?
It does, and host-beneficiary relationships are very easy to set up in the martial arts industry.
Yeah, we have a whole course on it, but if you like, tomorrow, again, for everybody on tomorrow's call, I'll give you some transcripts of two or three 90-minute very, very ABCD sessions I did. I can give a short course here, but it'll take the rest of the time. But the key is you find organizations, individuals – who are dealing with the same profile you are, and you get them to recommend you, to endorse you, to introduce you, to joint venture with you, and you share generously because now you understand allowable cost. I mean, I've even gone to competitors and showing them how they can make more by recommending me to their people, going to their inactives, going to the leads they didn't convert. And I've made millions for them and millions for myself. I don't want to get too deep, but does this make sense, Rob?
Indeed it does.
Okay, the next is different forms of advertising. And the key to advertising, and I'm going to build on it before this call is over, is they all have to have the maximum amount of direct response components. And I am going to give you a checklist of about 20 key elements and a formula to follow. But if it's not, and you got to test, and we're going to get into testing, too, before the end of this. But one approach, what I found in studying your industry is two things. Number one, very few of you test. You don't test one headline over another. You don't test one proposition over another. You don't test one media over another. You don't test one offer over another. You don't test one closing approach over another. You don't test one entry approach over another. You just sort of do what seems to work, and you don't realize that it may be costing you, you know, 3-4 times the future income because you're minimizing instead of maximizing your yield. The only way you can do it is testing. When you test one approach over another, you will find that one will always outpull another by 20%, 50%, 500%, as much as 21 times. I told you the headline approach, but I'll give you a real-world example. I made $40,000 a month for one solid year from 1.5 hour's worth of work. Would you like to know how I did it, Rob?
I would love to.
I had a client years ago selling gold, and they were running ads in the Wall Street Journal, and they had an arrangement where banks would help finance gold purchases for their investors. And their headline said 2/3 bank financing on silver and gold. And I realized that that didn't express to the intended buyer what the benefit to him or her was. It was just a blatant statement. And I sat down. I didn't change any of the body copy of the ad. I just changed the headline. I tried 5 different approaches. One approach pulled just the same. One approach pulled 20% better. One approach pulled a double. One approach pulled 3 times, and one approach pulled 5 times more for no additional cost, no change in body copy. What my change that was the winner was, and this was back when gold was $300 an ounce and silver was $6 an ounce. Remember, the first ad headline said 2/3 bank financing. What mine said was, it denominated the offer and the implication and the relevance to the and the importance and the benefit and the advantage to the buyer. It said, if gold is selling for $300 an ounce, send us just $100 an ounce and we'll buy you all the gold you want. That transformation of demonstrating the benefit to me, the reader, got 5 times as many people excited. You have the same power, but you have it. And remember I told you yesterday you have about 30 different impact points. You can test headline first because that's 90% of the impact. And headline is not just the opening of a display ad. It's the first paragraph of a mailing piece. It's the headline or the opening paragraph of a Val pack. It's the opening thing you say when you get somebody on the phone. It's the first thing you say when they come into your school. We had a very large, for example, retail store. They did $40 million, but they were doing $10 million when I first met them. And we tested 25 different ways to meet somebody at the door coming into their furniture store. And we found that one approach produced 3 times, 300% more business than any other one. And I don't have time to put you through a guessing game, Rob, but it wasn't, can I help you? It wasn't, what are you looking for? It was, and what ad brought you into the store today? Because they couldn't get off the hook. They had to tell you what they're interested in. You could guide them. You could be a leadership role. You could walk them over to that. Pretty cool, huh?
Jay, let's reduce this to the ridiculous for just a quick second. If I'm a school owner and I have 500 prospects in my database, how do I test with those 500 prospects?
Okay, I'm going to give you indicative because you don't have a big database, but you try a couple of different things. You break them into groups of 50 or 100, and you send a postcard or a letter to each of those groups that is built on a different theme or at least a different headline. And separately, because you know they're not all going to get received, not all going to get read, you call 50-50-50, and you have a 30 to 60 second message that you leave because the vast number of calls you're going to do are not going to reach a human being. They're going to reach a voicemail.
Correct.
And if you have their email, you do the same. And then you look at indicative results. Indicative means maybe one approach pulls 3 interviews and one approach pulls 5, and it's not absolutely definitive because you're not a research scientist. You haven't taken it to a full level of analytical, scientific size, but it is worth expanding. You do it again bigger. Then you take whatever produced the best outcome, and you go back to the other 450 that didn't get that. Does that make sense?
So if I have an A, B, C, D group, and the B group pulled the best, whatever that medium or promotion was, I then take that and send it back to the entire group.
Yes. And if it, now here's the next thing that nobody realizes. If you do a mailing or you do a telephone outcall and it produces X result and that's profitable either up front on your old basis or on now your allowable cost because maybe breaking even, but that's monstrously profitable based on all the renewals and additional programs people buy, you can go right back to that list the next day and know you're going to get at least 50% again of that yield and as much as 200%. And most people don't do that. They say, well, we do one mailing a year. I say, why? My clients mail until it stops being profitable. Does that make sense, Rob?
Perfect sense, Jay.
Okay. So you can do all kinds of experiments with advertising. You can use direct mail. And my recommendation, there's nothing wrong with Valpak as a test medium for headlines, but I think you get a lot more ground doing direct mail, and I think you do a lot more direct mail if you do joint ventures where you get organizations to endorse that letter so it goes from the head of the baseball commission or from that, you know, from it goes to the mailing list of the parents of the surfboard company, or it goes to all the people who are getting tutored by Kaplan, Kaplan's whatever they call it, SCORE. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know it very well.
So the next thing is telemarketing. And by the way, telemarketing is very difficult to do cold. It is very profitable to do as a back end behind a letter or behind an inquiry. I told you yesterday that lead generating specialists know that, again, if you're not getting many leads and you're converting 50%, on the one hand, you could be very proud. On the other hand, I would say you're not really doing great marketing because you should be getting a hell of a lot more leads and you should be converting a lot more, but not in the first step. Does that make sense, Rob?
Yeah, I think what you're saying is if a school does a demonstration at the mall or a school talk at the local academic school, they need to collect those phone numbers and then telemarket to follow up and get those students to come in and try the program.
They got to use direct. They got to become masterful at direct response. Anytime you ever interact with an organization, a media, a group, a list, you got to make an offer that requires them to raise their hand and take action, where the action is come in, where the action is let me send you, you know, a list of the do's and don'ts. So the action is try this test. So the action is, send your student. Well, you got to have some action that constantly advances, enhances their commitment and their forward progress towards becoming a student or having their child become a student. Does that make sense?
It does.
And it's a sequence. All the studies I've done say in true lead generating, it sometimes takes 7 to 11 follow-up communications, call, visit, call, sending them out things. We'll talk probably tomorrow about building credibility in the sequence of events. But the next thing on the list is, oh, by the way, telemarketing behind a mailing piece will increase the results of that mailing by 300-500% if you do it right. When you're telemarketing on a follow-up basis a lead, you've got to realize this reality, Rob. 90% of the time, you're not going to get the intended person live. I said that. Most people just leave a stupid message. It's a waste. If you are a strategic marketer, you realize that every message is listened to if it has value. If it has no value, it is deleted. If you're having a progressive, sequential relationship with that prospect, and I'm going to give you a concept here which is very powerful. Your attitude should be from the beginning. It is only a matter of time before I will be teaching and having as my student and impacting the lives, the character, the health, the well-being, the mindset of every person in my community that is deserving and needs it. And even though I have a business to run and it needs to make cash flow to service it, I am not going to wait for money to change hands before I contribute strategically and systematically. So I'm going to be the one, I'm going to invest in them first. It's got to be a mindset, Rob. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it sounds like there's even an art to leaving a well-crafted voicemail on a future student's
message. There is. It's got to always have the you attitude. It's got to be in the best interest of the intended student or the parent. It's got to take them to an action. it's got to be really stimulating. And if you're not going to reach him, you don't say, hi, this is Rob from Acme Martial Arts. Call me back. You know, what do you think the statistical probability of that's going
to
be?
Well, in martial arts, no movement is wasted. And it sounds to me like there's no movement that's wasted in marketing either.
I'm going to give you a concept which may be a little afoul of martial arts, but it's a pretty powerful concept. In business, more is accomplished by movement than is ever accomplished by pure meditation. And so, but you're leaving a message, and I don't want to get into it today. Maybe we can do some actual role play tomorrow.
Right.
And do some, but you've got to craft your messages so they constantly and sequentially advance. Not, hi, this is Rob, call me. It's like, this is Rob, and I know that you called because you had, and you got to know, you got to be able to customize it. I know you called because you wanted to get your son, John, help in his self-esteem. Well, I thought you'd love to meet three of our students that are going to be here tomorrow. One of them stuttered. One of them, was beat up as a bully. One of them was this, and they all have had remarkable progress, and the parents will be there and that. And I'd like to invite you to have John come and hang with them and talk to the parents. That took me less than a minute. It would have made the most of the voicemail, wouldn't it?
That's beautiful.
I'm just giving you I'm doing this off the cuff, but we could create probably on some future time some topics for these people. But the next thing is running special events or information nights. Many of the people I interviewed did something singular. Few of them did things every week, every month as a sequential marketing. I had a Mercedes dealership that became the third most successful Mercedes dealership in the country by stopping altogether advertising and concentrating on special events. They had a full-time person that set up fundraising deals with organizations. They had all kinds of wild events at their facility. Nothing to do with buying a car. They sponsored community activities. They had competitive driving schools. They had all kinds of wild things, and they attracted all kinds of people. They would go to all kinds of other organizations, that were parallel jewelry stores, high-quality dress shops, law firms, and they would sponsor events for them, open houses they would pay to have at their facility. They were very inventive. They had something different happening every week and oftentimes multiple ones. And guess what? It wasn't a expense. It was a profit center. The next thing is acquiring qualified lists. As I said, the local newspaper is probably the least viable thing you can do. There's all kinds of other organizations, enterprises, people who have 10 times better lists. If you look at every other place of an organized, disciplined manner that student would be at, baseball, gymnastics, this and that, you can go to all those organizations and work some kind of a joint venture where either you give them a share of the revenue, you exchange lists with them, you give them free, I'm going to talk about barter today or tomorrow, you give them free training. I'm going to teach, you can create, all of you can create, let's say, Rob, of the average school, how many have unfilled places in a typical class? 100%?
I would say probably about 99.9%, Jay.
Okay. If you have 5 or 10 openings in 3 classes, and the average opening has a value of $3,000 if somebody signed up for a 6-month class, okay? Is that reasonable?
Now, I think it would be about 800.
Okay, 800 times 3 times 5 is 2,400 times 5. That's $12,000. You can create $12,000 worth of buying power at will that you can exchange for advertising, for access to lists, for goods or services you would normally pay cash for just by mastering barter. And I'll teach it. I may not teach it today. Can I continue?
Please do. I love the sounds of the barter thing, and a lot of school owners do, in fact, do some bartering, but I think we can
do it as a profit center. I teach my clients to do it as a profit center.
Yeah.
Get $10,000, $20,000 a month value for that which would cost them nothing. I'll give you a quick the guy that taught me was the master barter manager for Carnival Cruise, and when Carnival Cruise started, they had one boat that was unfilled. They traded all the unsold seats for everything else they needed, including all the advertising, and they parlayed that into a billion-dollar business. I'll teach it tomorrow. The next thing is, I told you, acquire qualified lists. The next is develop a unique selling proposition, not to take the gentleman that we talked to yesterday to task who said, I think that karate should be the lead. People basically buy because they need to see what the singularly biggest benefit, payoff, advantage, enrichment they're getting out of the transaction is, and they don't have the time or the effort or the interest to figure it out for you. The, you know, the people that figure out what the unique selling proposition is are the ones that win the game of competition. And the unique selling advantage will be different for different ones of you. It'll be different for different programs. It'll be different for different markets. For one market, it may be the fastest, easiest, most proven way to lose weight in 2 hours a week for the rest of your life, guaranteed. Call for free details. The other one may be a way to get any child's self-esteem improved a minimum of 300%. The next one may be a way to create a confidence, a leadership ability that can triple your career success rate. Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds, but those are different. You see what I'm saying?
So every school on this call should make as a homework assignment to develop a unique selling proposition.
Yes. The next is increasing the perceived value. How do you think I get $5,000 an hour? How do you think I get $25,000 a seminar? I get it because I revere what I bring to the table and what I'm going to do, and I dimensionalize it. I doubt if most of your people do it. If you say, well, let me tell you why I think this is great for your son. First of all, you know, myself and my staff have spent a composite of 100 years, 85,000 hours, you know, studying, mastering, hands-on working with 20,000 students who've struggled with the same issues your son or you're struggling with. We have 100% success rate with every student that works with us. We go into it knowing and feeling and sensing what you're doing. When we are in that room, we are 100% there for our students and for your son. We are there just with one goal and one goal only, to make John feel great about himself, to make John have the confidence to be a good leader, to make John never show fear, to make John, you know, really, really be, I mean, and you discipline it.
Jay,
and you take it forward and you revere it. If the more you revere, dimensionalize, and animate what you're selling, what you're doing, what it's going to do, the more the buyer will. Does that make sense, Rob?
So you're going to basically present it as such when you're talking to somebody on the phone or presenting to them the enrollment conference or a renewal conference or sitting there talking to them about an intro or even on the deck in the introductory course, you want to frame it as you just described.
That is affirmative. That is correct.
Okay.
So not only because I want to go through a lot of these. Using public relations and media management. Every one of you should constantly be looking for events within the 5 or 8 areas that your martial arts training focuses on that tie to current things that are going on in the world, in the community, and to universal things that are constant. You should be doing, like I said yesterday, challenges. You should be talking about, you know, with all the different weight loss, you should do a report on the and compare the success of your weight loss with all the, you know, the other things, the ease, the consistency. You should be finding incredible approaches. And I do have a bunch. I mean, I hate to do this to myself because if I ever wanted to sell you anything, I'll have nothing to sell. But I'd rather get more packed into it. I have 10 pages of notes on how to write and create good PR that I can also give you tomorrow for those people on tomorrow's call that we can put up and post next week if you'd like.
That's very gracious.
Get into it. Each one of these can take an hour of explanation.
What is the end result of doing all this PR, Jay, for our audience today?
Two, three things. You're entrenching yourself in a superior preemptive role in the community as the definitive leader.
Correct.
Number two, you're generating free advertising or marketing that generates leads. Number four, you're collecting a composite of credibility in the community that you can turn into three things: all kinds of things you can post in your school, all kinds of things you can use in your advertising, all kinds of things you send out. When people want to know about my skill set, I send them a book that's got a collection of 50 different articles on me, twice in USA Today, once in Forbes, once in 4 times in Entrepreneur, 4 times in Success, twice in Investors Business Daily. When they want to know whether it really works, I send them a collection of 800 actual testimonials and 502 actual case studies in their own words. And then I keep sending them other things. When they come into my office, they see pictures of me with people. That, I mean, does that make sense, Rob? All things being equal, the implication, the nonverbal message is I am the leader. Yeah. I am great, not just good. I deliver results. You are in good hands. Does that make sense?
You want to position yourself as the martial arts star in your town.
And anybody on this call can do it, even if you have an aversion towards communication, because you can get someone else to do it for you, and you can pay them on results, not on a fee, because we're into paying as we go. The next thing, increasing your retention, three ways. Number one, having as the in the beginning an understanding with your student that you're going to be there for them constantly, and part of your process is accountability and communication, and that you're going to check up on the student or them frequently, not just at the school, but privately, because that produces a greater outcome. It's in their best interest. Next, programming them for the future. Telling them in the beginning, until you get habituated, until you start seeing the compound geometric result, you know, in the first couple of weeks, it's going to be a slower process. You're going to have certain days. You're going to preempt what they're going to normally feel. You're going to not want to come. Your kid's going to... And that's when you break through the barrier. You tell them the story of The Right Stuff. Did you ever see the movie The Right Stuff?
Is that a space movie?
No, it's a movie about the creation of space. And it shows Charles Yeager doing the first test pilot of breaking through the sound barrier. And when they first did it, you know, they showed his airplane shaking, and they showed him being scared, and there this pop, and everyone thought he imploded. But it was just the glory and the exhilaration of moving on to this higher plane of exhilaration and fulfillment.
So are you saying, Jay, that the school owner should always be selling the dream of, you know, fitness and confidence and esteem and becoming a black belt and so forth? Constant.
The future and believing in, I believe from the get-go. People said to me, how are you so successful? I have a vision of you at a higher level than you even have yourself. I know it's possible. I see you doing all these things, and I verbalize it so it becomes real to you. And my confidence in you is so compelling and contagious, you can't stop. But I started from the very beginning, so I program you ethically for the future. I'm programming you that we're going to start with the basic. We're going to get you disciplined. We're going to work on your proficiency. We're going to get you comfortable. Then we're going to take you to a black belt. Then we're going to get you a specialized program. Then we're going to see how high it is. Then we're going to look at your life, and we're going to concentrate on other areas, your weight, your career. And it's just, I'm going to be there for you forever. I'll be there for your kids. I'll be there for your family. And I preemptively position what it's going to look like forever. Do you think that kind of a positioning is going to get a better long-term result and more people staying than the other?
Absolutely. That's great stuff. It really is.
Staying with them frequently. The more you communicate, the more they will stay and the more they will pay. But the communications have to be self-serving. They can't be about the school. Oh, yeah, the schools are this. You're going to be about you, about me. You're going to say, you know, we've done a study. We found that 28% of people came for self-esteem, got a weight loss, but you should start looking at that. You've got other issues. We've got other classes. We've got special, you know, programs. And you got to stop constantly be communicating to me. You got to be sharing success stories. And if I had leads in the conversion process, which is the long-term follow-up process, I'd be sending out testimonials, press to them. I would be sending them, success stories, firsthand interviews. I would be interviewing all my students on cassette tape or with video, and I'd be making inexpensive videos I could send out. I would be building such credibility and hope that it got circulated in the community. Don't you think, Rob?
Well, if you didn't do all those things you just described, Jay, that means your retention is going to be lower. And if your retention is lower, then you almost have to market twice as hard just to get more new students and leads in to kind of keep your membership numbers up.
Well, what I teach, and you've stolen my thunder, but it's very appropriate.
I apologize for that.
Oh, no, I'm just thinking, Rob, thank you. Your job is to be advocate general for the listener. If I can cut, I can't talk. If I can reduce your attrition by 50%, it's just like me giving you a 50% boost in students, except for it didn't cost you anything. If you're losing 50% a year, now you can cut that in half, and you're not really masterful at selling them up to other things, no more money's changed hands. Your strategy, your marketing, your approach, your interaction has changed. It's same time, same effort, just a different directed use, a different shift in how you concentrate, which is probably no different than getting maximum leverage out of a martial arts science. You can double or triple your income that easy. It's that simple, but it takes concerted focus. Does that make sense, Rob?
A few things are more important than what you just described right there.
Okay, so let's talk about converting inquiries to sales and students to advanced students. the easiest, simplest, fastest thing each and every person on this call not could do, not should do, but must, M-U-S-T, do the moment you're done with tomorrow's call is get yourself and everybody in your organization, current, future, and ongoing, whoever has any interaction with your students, with the parents, with prospects, very well trained in consultative selling. People ask me, what's the simplest, easiest, the greatest leverage you can give somebody? And I say, without a doubt, and I don't do this. I have a lot of friends that provide it, but I don't do this. I do it naturally, but it's become a consultative sales expert, a consultative sales expert. Become masterful in the science, not the art, because arts are hard to master. Science is very easy. Anybody can get very, very proficient at the science of consultative selling. Selling is not manipulative. Selling is not erratic. You should have very little variation from one salesperson to another when you teach them all to be consultants. This is going to basically be the strategy for eminence, and I may have to wait until tomorrow because it's such a cool concept. But it's about starting from the get-go, being seen and seeing yourself as the most trusted advisor the prospective student has. Showing them that you feel, you understand, you empathically, respectfully get what they're feeling, what they're desiring better than they do, that you have the capacity to deliver it, that you've got a process that is infallible, that you're going to work with them and you're going to walk them through a sequence, and over the rest of their life you're going to be committed and your staff is committed and your school is there and all the other students are there for them to be the best they can be, and you've got the process to do it, and that you are in love with their outcome, and your first and foremost goal is not the martial arts. It's not making a lot of money. It's making them such a greater, better person, individual, you know, whatever it is. And that ideology, and I don't have time to really get into it deeply today, but that will transform you. You've got to get trained in consultative selling. How do you do it? There's five ways. First, you can bring in a consultant, and even an average one locally normally will cost $2,000-$3,000. But guess what? You've got $12,000 or $15,000 a month in tradable space, can't you? So you can trade them. Consulting for training for their child. They can give it away. They can use it as a Christmas gift to their past clients. Pretty interesting, right, Rob?
Absolutely.
Number two, you can go to a seminar. Trade that too. Number three, you can buy tapes. Number four, you can go to any bookstore and buy any reputable tape on consultative selling, and it absolutely, if you go through it with everybody and every day or every week, I do it every day because you want to accelerate this because it'll transform your business production 10 to 500% instantly, and it'll sustain that. And I'm not talking about just 10 to 500% more conversions, more leads to first sales, but 10 to 500% more basic introductory people will go to advanced advice and using it as a vehicle to generate referrals. You'll get 10, 20, 500% more people can, you know, generating referrals and all the way through. It's powerful and it's instantaneous. If you decide to do it the inexpensive way with a book, have everybody read the book on a weekend, pay them. Don't say, hey, I'll give you each $50 to read this book. But you won't get the $50 until we go through a process every morning or evening on your own time or weekend of reviewing every chapter and seeing what it meant differently to each one of you and how we can combine your different perspectives into an action form. Does that make sense, Rob?
It's great stuff. Everything you're saying here, Jay, is so important. I mean, you're saying that if someone's not a consultative salesperson by nature, they could go out into the community, find someone who teaches seminars on this, barter with them from free martial arts lessons, so it really doesn't cost them a penny. That person can come in and train the staff, and then for the rest of their career as a martial arts professional, they could dramatically increase their closure rate.
That is affirmative. That is affirmative. The next thing is doing more strategic alliances, endorsements, and host beneficiaries. Other people have spent, they got much deeper budgets and much bigger organizations and much more facilities, and they've spent tens, hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars a month. They've got teams in the field generating, selling products and services. They have all this goodwill with buyers, patients, clients, members. You can tap into that, and the leverage in it is profound. Now, Rob, I'm going to be rude for a minute because I got to get some water. I'm losing my voice, and I got to go outside. I need 1 minute, and I want to give everybody an exercise while I'm doing it, okay?
Okay.
I want them to make a list right now of every organization, every publication, every entity that's commercial, every individual out there other than themselves who already has a strong, credible, impactful relationship with the same market they want to reach. I want to make a separate list of what they know are commonalities that their students share, i.e. they go to soccer, they go to this, they get, you know, they go to score. And I'll be back in 1 minute, okay?
Okay, Jay.
Thank you.